We begin, as we always desire to begin, with what we believe here at Daleville Christian Church. And in this case, what we believe is also the reading of God's Word. But let's begin with the affirmation of faith. That Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This we believe here at Daleville Christian Church. The Word of God from the Apostle in his letter to the Philippians in the Greek city of Philippi. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I've been saying these last several weeks that here at Daleville Christian Church, we want you to be connected. We want you connected to Jesus Christ. A part of that connection, being connected to Jesus Christ, is being connected to Jesus' church. Worship is a part of that connection. It's a personal connection to the Lord. Worship is a personal connection to the body of Christ, the church. It's a personal connection of the body of Christ to the Lord, who is the head of the church. Worship is connection cubed. If prayer is personal connection with the Lord, then prayer in worship is connection squared to the second power. Worship is three connections. And what does God's word say in the book of Ecclesiastes? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Worship is important, even essential. And Jesus said that he himself would show up to your gathering if just two were present. And that having even two people present, that isn't for Jesus' benefit, is it? Showing up with another person for Jesus to come, that's for your benefit, not Jesus' benefit. Jesus wants someone else here when you worship for your benefit. Here at Daleville Christian Church, we have been reviewing what we believe. And we're looking at what we believe as expressed in worship. Worship isn't so much what we believe. Worship is an expression of what we believe. And what we express in worship is important. And what we express in worship is important three ways. It's what we believe. It's what we believe is found in God's Word, the Bible. And worship is also teaching us about what we believe and about God's Word. And it's teaching not only us who participate in worship week after week. It's teaching any visitors. It's teaching strangers. It's teaching children. Anyone who shows up will learn something in the worship of Jesus' church. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the furniture here in the sanctuary, the lectern where the Bible sits, and the pulpit where the Bible is expounded and interpreted, placed prominently so that the Word of God can be seen and heard, so that everyone may attend to the Word of God. And then there's the table of the Lord, where the followers of Jesus may eat the Lord's Supper as Jesus intended that we do whenever we meet. We've talked about how the ancient peoples knew how to worship. The ways of worship were never questioned. Nobody raises this question in the Bible and all the discussion about worship. Because ancient peoples knew, as the Bible makes clear, that the Lord God does want our worship. Worship is a part of our service to God. Worship is literally working for the Lord. The words are linked in the ancient Greek language, which occur in the Bible. Today we look at some of the parts of our worship service. Last Sunday, we were directed to notice psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We spent time last Sunday looking at the Song of Praise, or the doxology, and the Gloria Patri. That's the Latin language, Gloria Patri, which simply means "for glory be to the Father." So today we look at a portion of the Word of God in the Bible that is believed to be a hymn or spiritual song that the earliest Christians used in their worship. So last week we looked at what we sing. This week we look at what they sang. Now, admittedly, when we look at Philippians chapter 2, it's a little harder to actually see these words as words to sing, since we don't read or speak the Greek of the early church in which the New Testament is written. But let the Greek scholars assure you, there's a good reason to print these words in the Bible differently than all the other words in the Bible around this passage. It is probable that Paul is quoting a verse or verses of a song that the Philippians already know and use in their worship. Often this passage is referred to This passage in Philippians chapter 2 is referred to as the hymn of Christ. In this hymn of Christ, the earliest Christians were expressing their faith. They're expressing the content of their faith. Because when we say we have faith, we're saying two things. We have faith, we're stating a relationship. We have trust in someone. We trust the Lord Jesus, or we trust God the Father. We have faith in them. But when we talk about faith, we're also talking about something we have faith in. It's the content of that faith. For example, we can say we have faith in the U.S. Constitution. Well, the content of what you claim is the United States Constitution, and we would have to take some time to unpack and explain what it is you have faith in. This hymn of Christ has a content that we want to unpack and explain. And even more than that, we want to begin to understand why this hymn of Christ makes a difference in our lives. When the ancient church sang this hymn of Christ, they were expressing what it is that they have faith in. They were expressing the content of their faith. We'll look at the hymn first, wherein it reads, "In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." We're not going to focus on that, although that is the whole point Paul is trying to make. We're going to learn something about Jesus, and that's how we are supposed to be. We're supposed to have that mindset. Now we're going to learn about the mindset of Jesus. In verse 6, Jesus Christ, "who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." This is a reminder that Jesus was indeed God. And this is a key factor in knowing that we are Christians. Because to say that Jesus really existed, that doesn't make us Christians. To say that Jesus was a great teacher does not make us Christians. It doesn't even make us a believer. To say that Jesus was a great man does not make a person a Christian or make that person a believer. But saying that Jesus was indeed the creator of heaven and earth and Lord of all as God, when you say that, you have crossed into the area of the religious believer. You become one of the faithful. It does not quite, however, make you a follower of Jesus. But why someone would believe that Jesus was God and then not follow Jesus? Well, only human beings are capable of such convoluted behavior and thinking. But claiming Jesus as Lord does not make you a follower of Jesus. Actually, only following Jesus is what makes you a follower of Jesus. And usually those who follow Jesus believe that Jesus was and is God. But the focus here is on who Jesus is. Jesus was and is God. That means a lot of things. But let's start with one of the first. The God of the heavens left heaven. The God of the heavens left heaven and left behind all the trappings of heaven. The Lord, when he came to earth, did not bring an angel army. The Lord God came to earth, did not bring an entourage or a posse with him. The Lord God did not bring with him any servants. What happened was the Lord God took on the form of a servant. He had servants in heaven. He didn't bring any with him. He became a servant here on earth. And why would the Lord God come to us, come to our world and show up like one of us? Well, the short answer is that the Lord God came to us like one of us because the Lord God loves us so much. Now, you realize the Greeks and Romans had many stories of their gods coming to earth, their pagan gods, coming to earth in human form. And sometimes, in the stories, the gods, the pagan gods, came to earth in a form other than human form. But the Greek and Roman gods, the stories about the Greek and Roman gods, did not speak of redemption. And it did not. Those stories did not speak of the gods' self-sacrifice for humanity. But Christians do speak of those things about their God coming to earth. Christians do speak of their God redeeming his creation. Christians do speak of God's self-sacrifice for humanity in coming to earth. You see, Greek and Roman gods usually appeared on earth as humans in order to fool humans. Because the Greek and Roman gods were coming to earth to learn about humans. So they were in a disguise. But Christians believe that God came to earth as a human in Jesus so that we might learn something about God. God came to earth not to learn about us. He already knew us. God came to earth to show us something about himself. That he loved us that much. The Lord God came like one of us to us because of God's great love for us. And we can add that the Lord God came like one of us because of God's love for his creation. The one who made creatures became a creature. That's how much the Lord God loves us. The Lord God allowed himself to suffer what we suffer: hunger, thirst, fatigue, temptation. And what does this mean? It means that you and I may speak with the Lord about anything. We can speak to the Lord about anything and everything. Our Lord God does understand. The Lord God knows what it is to wrestle with decisions, to be responsible, to need to eat and drink, to wear clothing, to keep clean. God didn't come to creation to learn those things. Our Lord God came to earth so you could learn that your God already knows these things and loves you. So the hymn continues. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's verse 8, Philippians chapter 2. So what the apostle wants to make very clear is that our Lord God came to us like a man, but Jesus being a man was not a costume or a disguise, as it had been for the Greek and Roman gods who came to earth. They were in a disguise. Jesus being a man was not a disguise. Jesus really was a man. Jesus really was a human being. You see, it's one thing to dress up like a homeless person on Halloween. It's quite another thing to become a homeless person. Our Lord God became a homeless person. Our Lord God had a home in heaven and left it to wander the earth with nowhere to lay his head. Our Lord God went so far to be human that he even died. And our Lord God, as Jesus of Nazareth, died a death that was horrible. It was cruel, it was slow, it was insulting, it was humiliating, and all done legally by order and consent of the governing authorities. And why would our Lord God do that? Well, this hymn only gives us the short answer. And the shorter answer is that Jesus of Nazareth went to the cross and died there out of obedience to the Heavenly Father. You and I know from other songs in the Bible that Jesus' obedience was a part of the plan of saving us. And as a result of success of this plan of salvation, which required Jesus' death and Jesus' acceptance of that death, God is glorified, creation is redeemed, and Jesus is to be exalted and praised. This hymn in chapter 2 of Philippians finishes with praise, present praise and future praise. Beginning in verse 9, therefore, God exalted him, that is Jesus, to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One day all of creation will acknowledge Jesus as Lord. And we're probably talking about the new heaven and the new earth. But here the hymn states that it's right and fitting that two of our body parts participate in acknowledging Jesus, our knees and our tongues. We control those, our knees and our tongues. And because of who Jesus is and what Jesus did, we are to put the knees and the tongue in service to him, using them to acknowledge Jesus as the exalted one, the name above every name. Now, here at Daleville Christian Church, we have one hymn and only one hymn in our hymnal that reflects these same words. We have one hymn in our hymnal based on these verses of Scripture from Philippians chapter 2. The title of that hymn is At the Name of Jesus. I sang this for you once, not too long ago. The music is not very tuneful. It's in a minor key. And I don't make you sing it very often. And I'm not even sure I've ever made you sing this. But the words are fantastic. I will share some of them in a moment. But the words were written by a woman named Caroline Noel. What little we know about her includes her date of birth and date of death. She died in 1877 at the age of 60. She suffered as an invalid and was acquainted with pain. Perhaps she looked forward to the day when she could bow her knees to her Lord and confess his name clearly with her tongue. These are her words based on these verses of Scripture. Mostly we remember the man who wrote the music for the hymn rather than the woman whose words are based on God's word that we sing. And here they are. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess him, King of glory now. 'Tis the Father's pleasure we should call him Lord, who from the beginning was the mighty word. Here's the hymn, and I usually sing it a little faster. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. 'Tis the Father's pleasure we should call him Lord, who from the beginning was the mighty Word. From the beginning he was the mighty Word, as stated in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The third verse says, humbled for a season to receive a name from the lips of sinners, unto whom he came. Faithfully he bore it, spotless to the last, brought it back victorious when from death he passed. In the final verse, Christians, this Lord Jesus shall return again with his Father's glory o'er the earth to reign. For all wreaths of empire meet upon his brow, and our hearts confess him King of glory now. To these words of our faith, reflecting the words of Philippians chapter 2, we can say, Amen.